Please turn in your Bibles this evening to Luke chapter 14, verses 15 beginning. This part of this will serve as our text this evening as we discuss the cost of discipleship. We need to understand that nothing comes without cost. And when we contemplate entering into something such as discipleship or even a purchase, we need to ask ourselves, what is the cost and are we willing to pay the price? In Luke chapter 14, verse 15 beginning, we'll see Jesus telling of a number of things that happened and how people reacted to it. And when one of them sat at meat with him, heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." This was a great thing for someone to say. And then Jesus, in response to that, said, "A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused.' And another said, 'I have brought five yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come.'" As we see this, we realize that people have not really changed from Jesus' day till now, have they? When there is work to do, when there is a task that needs to be carried out, when we have committed ourselves to something, we often try to make excuses and try not to put forth all of the effort that we should put forth. But notice, if you will, the response to the Lord. The servant came and said, showed to his Lord these things. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind." And the servant said, "Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room." He had gone out and had found all of those who weren't initially bidden to the feast, all of those who were out in the highways and the byways, those who normally would not have been invited, but were invited because those who were initially invited said, "No, I'm too busy, Lord. I can't come." The Lord then said to the servant in verse 23, "Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that the house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." And there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, "If any man come unto me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Herein we see the great cost of discipleship. It is that Jesus Christ has to be absolutely, without a doubt, number one in our lives. When Jesus said, "If any man come unto me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children," he did not mean that we are to despise them, but we are to love them less than we love the Lord. And think of all of the wonderful things that our family has done for us and what they mean to us. But then notice that that pales in comparison to just one thing that Jesus did for us. Why, he died on the cross. He gave his own blood to purchase the church wherein we might be saved. He says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sit not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, setteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." And as we look at the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we must understand that's exactly what God did. He knew the cost of discipleship. And in order for there to be disciples, he knew that he had to give all. He gave his only begotten Son, that you and I might have eternal life. Jesus is very clear about discipleship. We see it in this passage. We see from verses 18 through 20, it cannot be if and when convenient. Why, all of these people that were bidden to the feast said, well, you know, maybe later, Lord. I've got a wife. I've got a family. I've got obligations, whatever these obligations may be. According to verses 26 through 28, it cannot be if and when it costs less. You know, I would be a better disciple, but, you know, I just have to put too much into it. I have to work too hard. How much work do you think the Lord did? The entire time that he was here, he was about serving his Father, doing his Father's will, seeing to it that you and I would have opportunity to enjoy the blessings of heaven. We must go to great lengths, and we must be willing to go to great lengths to be disciples indeed. This evening I want to discuss three or four things which we must be willing to do, or where we must be willing to go. First, we must be willing to go in the way. What do we mean by this? In Acts chapter 24 and verse 14, we'll see the words written regarding the account of the Apostle Paul, as he often had to defend himself before kings and magistrates. And he said, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets. Now, the question here was whether or not Paul was properly and acceptably worshiping God. Notice, if you will, how he described it. And these words were given to him by the Spirit. After the way that they call heresy, Paul was willing to go in the way. He was willing to honestly, earnestly, sincerely, and truthfully worship the God of his fathers. But notice, when he said how he did these things, he did so believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets, to properly serve Jesus Christ, to properly worship God from the time of the church until the time of the end of time as we know it, is to fully follow all things written in the law and in the prophets, because all things written in the law and the prophets lead to Christ, which leads us to God. We must be willing to go the scriptural way. As you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 and 17, contemplate, if you will, the remarks of your friends when the question about the differences in the worship where they attend and the things where we involve ourselves in here. And they'll say, well, I like it better. Great answer, huh? I like it better. Or it suits me. We must be willing to go the scriptural way. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, beginning, speaking of Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, but notice this, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. He goes on then to say, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. How must we be willing? We must be willing to go in the way, to set aside all of the things that are important in this life, because they are less important than our worship and our service to God. Specifically and especially when we find scriptures that say, do this. Perhaps there are those who possibly could be here this evening who are not, who possibly did not have opportunity to worship this morning. They must realize and understand that we are to come, we are to attend, we are to, because the scripture directs us to, that upon the first day of the week we're to gather together, we're to break bread, we're to remember the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, we see the Apostle Paul writing by inspiration, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself into Apollos for your sake. There's a reason that these things were transferred to them, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be lifted or puffed up for one against another. We need to understand that we are all brethren, and we are all in this life together, and we can serve God together, but we must be willing to go in the way. according to that exalted way. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, we find out where all spiritual blessings are contained. It tells us where they are. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And if we're not in Christ, we cannot have those spiritual blessings. And the only way that we can have those spiritual blessings is to be in Christ. And the only way we can be in Christ is if we go in the scriptural way, the exalted way. But know also that it is a narrow way. I have had people say to me, relative to the Lord's church, it's too constrictive. It's not broad enough. Well, what did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14? He said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." What they want is the here and now. They want what is beautiful and easy now. They don't want to look at the cost of discipleship. In Acts chapter 28 and verse 22, we see that the church was this sect everywhere spoken against. Oftentimes we are accused of being a cult. I've had people to say, "You are a part of a cult." No, I'm not part of a cult. I'm a part of the body of Christ. It is narrow. It is scriptural. It is the exalted way. And yes, because of that, it is restrictive. But it's God's way and not my way. He says, "But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." Why is it spoken against? Because it's not the way man wants it. It's the way God wants it. We need to also understand that it's a universal way. Years ago, I'm told that you could go to any building pretty much in the United States that bore the name Church of Christ, and you knew what kind of worship you were going to participate in. You knew what kind of sermon you were going to hear. You perhaps would even know what kind of songs would be sung. It's sad that today you can't do that. You might very well do a lot of research before you go on vacation and say, "You know, there's a Church of Christ there. I'm just going to go and worship." I suspect you might do as we have done on occasion and get up and leave because the sign on the building was wrong. It is a universal way. In Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35, we'll see this. Peter identifies those who are accepted with God. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Now listen, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." You want to be accepted with God? Get on that narrow way. How do you do that? Well, you work righteousness. You fear God, you respect him, you look up to him, and you look to his word, and you follow that. And you'll see that you're going in the way. You'll be in the right way. The right way is found in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, relative to the salvation of souls. Jesus himself said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And he followed up so that none would misunderstand, "But he that believeth not shall be damned." It is absolutely necessary for a person to walk in the way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, we'll see that this way is indeed universal. The same law should be applicable to every congregation. The same rule, the same word that we find. He says, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." The message that Paul preached could be preached anywhere, in any congregation, in any gathering of the Lord's people, because it was the truth. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And it has to be the same truth here as it is over there. And therefore, we must be willing to go in the way. Secondly, we must be willing to go all the way. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, we see these people to whom this letter was written, the seven churches in Asia Minor. We see about the persecution that was going to befall them with the upcoming fall of Jerusalem. We see the turmoil that was existing there, and we see the words that are given to them and how that they are not to be fearful. He says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." When you receive the crown of life, after you've been faithful unto death, what does that mean? They must be willing to go all the way. We must be willing to go all the way in our commitment. There are those, unfortunately, who have made a commitment to God who are not willing to go all the way in that commitment. I'm afraid that when they stand before God at the judgment, they will be sorely disappointed. Jesus said in Luke chapter 14 and verse 33 regarding our commitment and the fact that it must be all the way, "So likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Well, family is important, isn't it? A job is important. Our existence on this planet is important. But what's more important than serving God? Jesus said you must be willing to go all the way, forsake everything. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, when asked what the greatest commandment was, Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, with every fiber of your being." You are to serve God, do His will. And that's part of the cost of discipleship. In Job chapter 13 and verse 15, we see Job speaking words which tells us his commitment to God. He was willing to go all the way. He said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Here was Job, one who had received all sorts of tribulation, who participated in a number of different things, who was told of the loss of everything that he had, even his children, even his health. To the point that when his friends came from afar to sit with him, they did not even recognize him. And Job was willing to say, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Why? Because he made a commitment to God. It's interesting to me. Mrs. Job was the one who spoke up and said, "Curse God and die. Just get it over with." That's not what Job said. He said, "But I will maintain my own ways before him." In other words, "I've lived in all good integrity until this day. I will continue to do so," because he had not done anything wrong. He was willing to go all the way. Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, we'll see part of that letter being written to one of the congregations. Specifically, it's the congregation at Laodicea. There were things that the Lord said to these churches. Sometimes they were commendations. Because they had done well, because they had stood strong, because they had stood against those who were standing against God. But other times, it was severe rebukes. And this is one such time. It says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because that thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." In short, Laodicea was not willing to go all the way. They were not willing to stand up strong and say, "Though I die, I will serve him." We must be willing to go all the way in our obedience. Remember King Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 15? We see he came back from the slaughter. He had been told that he was to utterly destroy them. The animals, the men, the women, the children, everything. And he came back. And as he met Samuel, he said, "Hey, I followed the Lord's commandment." What was the question that was asked? He says, "What is the sound of the bleeding that I hear in my ears?" What had Saul done? He'd kept the animals, and he'd kept them for sacrifice. And so he was asked, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." That's what the Lord wants out of us. 100% obedience. 100% acceptance of His word. And our willingness to follow it. Our willingness to go all the way in our service to God. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, as Jesus is talking to his disciples, he had already told them about all authority having been given to him. He then said to them in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Notice, if you will, that Jesus Christ did not say, you may obey those things which are comfortable to you. He did not say, you may obey those things which are convenient to you. He did not say, you may obey those things which other people say it's okay to do. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always. We need to be able to go all the way in our teaching. The Apostle Paul was free from the blood of all men. Why? In Acts chapter 20 and verse 20, he said, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house. In verse 27, it tells us that he also told them, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. What did they receive? They received the truth, the 100% unadulterated truth, which would save a soul. Even to the point of telling those Ephesian elders, of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things, drawing away followers after them. We must be willing to go all the way in our service. Jesus Christ came to earth, lived a perfect life under the law of Moses, but he taught his disciples lessons that they would need, lessons that would be brought back to their mind when they were given the Comforter. But one of the greatest lessons that he ever told them, the Creator of the universe, the Savior of all mankind, was that he was a servant. John chapter 13 and verse 14, he then asked them, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. This is not a commandment to wash one another's feet. This is a commandment to be servants one to another, going all the way in our service to God. We must not only be willing to go in the way, we must not only be willing to go all of the way, but we must be willing to go out of our way. Let's turn to Luke chapter 14, verses 17 through 20. Again, which was part of our text. He sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Verse 18 tells us their response and their reaction. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. First one, I've got a piece of ground. I bought a piece of ground. You know what? After this supper, that ground is going to be there. The second one said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I have to prove them. I question the man's claim at this point. You don't buy 5 yoke of oxen before you see them, before you know that they'll be able to pull. Another one said, I've married a wife, therefore I cannot come. Why, are you the only married one in the plant? I don't think so. What did he say? Come. Come to the supper. He's not interested in our excuses. Friends, with our Lord and Savior and with the Father in heaven, excuses will not work. How many excuses did Jesus make when he came to earth to die on the cross? None. We must be willing to go out of our way to obey the gospel. Acts chapter 24 and verse 25 is one of the greatest examples I've ever seen of procrastination. One not willing to go out of the way. Speaking of Felix, and Paul was reasoning of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled. He knew what Paul was saying. I suspect that he got a stern warning about what would happen if he would not obey the gospel. And he said, as he trembled, go thy way for this time. When I have convenient season, I will call for thee. What was he saying? I can't do this now. I'll do this on my time. No. We must be willing to go out of the way. Unfortunately, we don't have a record that Felix ever obeyed the gospel. We must go out of our way to worship the Lord. In Acts chapter 20, verses 6 through 7, we'll see the Apostle Paul and those who were traveling with him. As Luke recorded, he said, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them in Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. Why? because upon the seventh day they were rested. They were ready to serve. And upon the first day of the week, verse 7, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. I'm not going to continue till midnight tonight. But know that they needed those things that were said by the Apostle Paul on that occasion. And he waited so that he might be able to impart unto them the words of God. He could very well have traveled on, but he was willing to go out of the way. We must be willing to go out of our way to learn and grow. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, we see an excellent example of this. There are those who have told me in recent years, I can't memorize. How hard are you trying? There was once a preacher who was able to quote great passages of Scripture, and someone came up to him afterwards and said, I would give half my life to be able to quote the Bible like you. You know his response. He said, I already have. We see that we are to learn and grow. We have to put forth effort. We've got to be willing to go out of our way. Those Bereans, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. How many of us read the Bible every day? Search the Scriptures every day. I will tell you a little secret. There's not a soul here, myself included, that studies the Bible as much as we should. Now, we must be willing to go out of our way to help the cause of Christ. Paul said, wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. In other words, in matters of conscience, he would put his own personal thoughts, his own personal preferences aside. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23, we see it stated this way. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. He's going to go on to explain. He said in verse 20, unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, notice this next phrase, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Paul was willing to go out of the way when it was not convenient. But know this, and know this well, Paul never compromised the truth, not one time. He preached the word of God. He was willing to go out of the way. We need to be able to and willing to go out of the way to show compassion to other people. There are no greater examples of compassion than what our Lord and Savior showed for us. Jesus answered and said in Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37, and told about one who had compassion. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Here were two of his brethren, a priest and a Levite, who looked and says, I don't want to be involved. And they passed by on the other side. Here was a Samaritan who was not even a friend to the Jew, or the Jew wasn't a friend to the Samaritan, and he had compassion on this man. Why? Because he had been robbed, he had been stripped, he had been beaten, and had been cast off like a piece of garbage. He went to him, he bound up his wounds, poured in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Jesus then asked the question, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Why, the person listening to the story could only have one answer, and that's the answer he gave. And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Jesus said to him, "Go and do thou likewise." Jesus Christ went out of the way to show mercy for you and I. How far are you willing to go to be a faithful disciple? Are you willing to go in the way? Are you willing to go all the way? Are you willing to go out of the way? How much are you willing for discipleship to cost you? If it's not everything, it's not enough. How much out of your way are you willing to go to serve God? Are you willing to be obedient? God is very clear when He tells us what we must do in order to be obedient initially, in order that we might become children of God. He told us in Romans 10:17 that we must hear the word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must believe according to John 8:24. "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." He said in Acts 2:38 that we are to repent. Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Confessing with their mouth, according to Romans 10:10, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And then they were to be baptized into Christ. Mark 16:16. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And then we must live faithfully until death. Are we willing to do that? If not, we're not willing to pay the cost of discipleship. But let me tell you what it's going to cost you. According to 2 Peter 2:20-21, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that are those who have obeyed the gospel, they are again entangled therein and overcome, those who have gone back into the world, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning." Verse 21 says, "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." Perhaps tonight you've never obeyed the gospel. Know, and know this, that you have to obey the gospel. You've got to be willing to pay the cost of discipleship. You must hear, you must believe, you must repent, you must confess, you must be baptized, and you must live faithfully until death. Perhaps this evening you've done those things, except for living faithfully unto death. Understand this, that you've not paid the cost for discipleship. You've separated yourself from God by your sin. But God has provided. In Acts 8:22, He tells us what we must do in order to return to Him. It is through repentance and prayer, those who are children of God. "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." What is your condition tonight? Are you a disciple of Jesus? Are you willing to pay the cost? If not, you'll be sadly mistaken when you stand at the judgment. Do you need to change your relationship with God tonight? I implore you. Think about it. Ask yourself the question, if I die this night, where will I spend eternity? And if you need to respond to the invitation, won't you do so as together we stand and sing the selected song.